you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
If you were here last week, you will remember that we've been talking about open doors, meaning ways that we give a foothold to the devil, okay, and how to close them. And we've gone through a number of things over the past weeks. You can go back and listen to every single one on a podcast, or you can find it on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. But last week, we were talking about one of the most, I think we're really in the heart of this right now. I think one of the most important, most prevalent, easiest to fall into open doors to allowing the devil access into your life, because you have to allow it. He doesn't have any right. You're a child of God. He doesn't have any right to bring his thoughts, to sow his stuff into your life. He doesn't have any right to do that. We have to, by believing a lie, by believing something that he says, or giving ourselves to some kind of activity or attitude, we've got to open that door. Okay, so we want to recognize those in our own lives and close them. We talked last week about the open door of offense, all right, being offended. I want to today, I was going to move on. Our next topic is the topic of fear and how fear will let him in. And I wanted to get there this morning, but all through the week as I was studying, I felt like I wanted to go back and just close out where we ended up. We're not going to go back through everything. We put out a lot of stuff last week, and I had a lot of feedback from you guys, which I appreciate, positive feedback, which I appreciate. So we're not going to go back through all of that, but I do want to, we ran short of time, which happens occasionally, and so I kind of rushed through a couple things at the end. I want to go back and hit those and fill them out, flesh them out for you, because I just think this is so important. Then if we have time, we'll at least introduce the subject of fear. I don't know if we'll get there or not. It's fine either way, okay? So last week, all right, we said a couple of things. I'll give you a couple of these, all right? We talked about unforgiveness, which is either an unwillingness to forgive somebody or an inability, temporary inability, to forgive someone. If we're Christians, if the Holy Spirit lives in us, we can forgive things that are unforgivable in the earth. We can forgive things that you might think I could never forgive. We can do it because we can do it by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God, and his grace is there for us. So we talked about these two subjects kind of knit together, unforgiveness and offense. Offense is unresolved anger, unresolved resentment, unresolved. A lot of times it comes from a hurt, a wound, something that someone has said or done against us. We feel like we were treated unfairly. It wasn't right, and it probably wasn't. And we said this, that our willingness to forgive cannot be based and measured by how bad something that happened to us was. We don't measure it that way. We measure it's really a requirement from the Lord to forgive. We measure that by what we have been forgiven. And I know that a lot of times we don't have a clear picture of the weight of what we've been forgiven. I think that's just something we have to accept. I think it's just a fact. I don't get it, because it'll feel like my sin isn't so big. Their sin was really big. That's why we don't get to judge all that. That's exactly why God has reserved that to himself, because we're terrible at it, okay? We're terrible at measuring those kinds of things. But so we talked about unforgiveness and offense, and we said that part of the problem is Those two things, if you leave them in your life, it will always harden your heart. Why? Because you have to resist the Holy Spirit in order to remain in offense or unforgiveness. To harbor a grudge, you have to resist the Holy Spirit because he is going to be trying to get you free. He's going to be trying to get you free from that offense and get you free and into forgiveness. We said a lot of things about forgiveness. I don't have time to repeat them all today. That doesn't mean you're saying what they did was okay. Doesn't mean you have to expose yourself to them again right away. Doesn't mean you should even. Sometimes there are some relationships where that it needs to be severed until that person can, through time of faithfulness, show themselves faithful before you're going to trust them again. Doesn't mean you have to trust them immediately again, right? The babysitter abuses your kid. You can forgive that babysitter, but you don't invite them back to be babysitter next week. I mean, people think, I can't forgive this person because I'd be saying what they did was okay. No, you're not. It's us releasing them from our right to punish them somehow. It's us, it's releasing something from our hearts and letting it go to God and moving into a place of forgiveness. That's what forgiveness is. It's not emotional. Eventually your emotions will follow if you stand on it, but most of the time we have to forgive by faith. First of all, we have to just choose it. It's what the Lord told me. It's what his word says. I'm going to release that person. Lord, I need your help. I need your grace. I choose to forgive. Okay. And with offense, it's, you know, we need out of offense. So we talked about a lot of things last week, but a hardened heart is going to make it more difficult for you to hear from God. Always. If your heart is hard toward others, it is hard toward God. We can't compartmentalize that very well. So it's going to make it harder for you to hear from God, harder for you to receive from his word, and it's going to make it really easy then for you to fall into deception because you're not going to be able to discern as well what voice is what when your heart is hard toward God, okay? So you're just going to miss a lot of things. We said that we live in this culture of offense. Offense has been raised to the level of a virtue in our culture. If you're offended, if you're outraged, then you care, right? I care, and I'm showing it by my outrage. I'm putting it on my social media every day. I am outraged. You're in a trap, is what's going on there. You are just in a trap. And if we keep giving ourselves to that, then unresolved offense eventually becomes a root of bitterness. And we talked about what that means last week. We talked about all this in detail last week. A root of bitterness, that term in the Bible comes, it's poison. It is malignant. It is something that gets down. It's a root. Roots continue to produce. Even if you cut off the surface so you can't see that there's a root there anymore, the root is still there and it continues to produce in our life. We don't want a root of bitterness on the inside of us. It will keep producing in your life, whether you want it to or not. You've got to let the Holy Spirit dig that root out. So we talked about all that last week. We talked about the fact that even the medical community studies are showing that living in a state of anger, resentment, bitterness, outrage, offense, that at least it affects your mind. The world knows this. It brings depression. It brings anxiety. It makes you not a fun person, okay? But it literally will affect, it will bring what we tend to call mental illness of some sort, which, yeah, it is mental illness, but it has a spiritual root, okay? And it's been shown that those types of things, living in that anger, living in that bitterness, living in that resentment, they've linked it to cancer, they've linked it to autoimmune diseases, and they've linked it to heart disease. And we're going to see very much a similar thing when we get talking about fear. they're discovering that people who live in fear, live in anxiety, live in worry, all of these same physical symptoms are showing up in them, okay? So this is bad stuff. We don't want to allow this in our life, and we don't have to. We've just got to decide this has no place in my life. I'm not going to allow myself to be offended. I am not going to get up every day and look for a place to be offended. When offense presents itself, remember in Luke chapter 17, we looked at this verse last week, I think it's verse 1, Jesus says, it is impossible that offenses won't come. It's impossible. And it's going to get impossibler as we get, and we'll see that in a minute here, as we get into the end times and we move toward the end times. Is going to be progressively harder, or I shouldn't say it's going to be harder. You're going to have more and more and more opportunities to be offended yourself, and you're going to be surrounded by this culture of offense. So we need to know this. We need to walk in godly wisdom. We need to understand that's not my world. No matter what, you can have opinions. We all have opinions. Some of them are real good. Some of them aren't, but some of them are real good. You can have opinions. You can have strong opinions. You can have strong values. What you can't do is let that allow, you know, work in you to become offended and angry and resentful toward people who are not on the same page with you. And we live, right, in the middle of that. Right now, I've never seen so much as we're seeing now. And I think a lot of that, I don't think it's that it has never existed. I doubt that's true. I think it's just that we're in a Tower of Babel society and we have all this communication with people that we don't even know. Half of them are computers, by the way. Half of the stuff we read out there, isn't even somebody posting it. It's a bot somewhere just trying to sow division into the earth. It's amazing. So we have to establish our life in some things and establish, make some choices, probably daily choices. I'm not letting offense in. Even when somebody is offensive, even when bad things happen, I can deal with that, and it many times has to be dealt with. But I'm not getting offended. I'm not holding unforgiveness because that will ruin your life. It'll ruin your ministry. It'll ruin your physical health. And you'll be no good to anybody. And we're here to be lights. We're here to break darkness. We are here to distribute peace. We are here, and I don't just mean peace. Peace and love. I don't mean that. I mean the peace of God that passes all understanding. Walking around with something different on the inside of us. Are you getting this? Yeah. All right. So through our choices, we can either become people who are easily offendable. There are lots of them around. They get offended every time the wind blows, okay? Or we can be unoffendable. And we'll have opportunity. It'll rise up. But we won't take it, okay? We won't consume it. We won't let it put down a root in our life. All right, so I wanted to go over these verses. We didn't get to these last week. I had to skip them, but this is an amazing passage to me. And Jesus is talking here in, Matthew 24. He's talking about the end times. He's been asked questions about the end times. He's describing the culture of the end times. So what he's saying here in context is big picture what it's going to look like out there. But we can also take this personally, this is a pattern of behavior that we are going to see more and more and more of in the world. And if it's a worldly, demonic pattern of behavior, then can we all agree it shouldn't be our behavior? This should not be the pattern of our life. So while these verses are this big cultural picture, I wanted us to see that this same pattern works in us as individuals. This is just truth, and truth works this way, okay? So he's describing a pattern of behavior, and it begins with offense. It's the first thing he says, and I'll just read this passage, and then we're going to break it down. I'm reading from the Amplified. which is what's on your screen. And it says, and then many will be offended. I think we're already there. Many will be offended and repelled. So those two things go together. Of being offended, being repelled. All right. And will begin to distrust and desert him who they ought to trust and obey. Wow. Offense leads to that. Distrust. And will stumble and fall away. They will betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. Pursue one another with hatred. We're there, okay? We are already seeing this. You know, I for years, and I think it's kind of common among believers, we think, oh, Jesus must be coming tomorrow. It can't get any worse than this. It can, sadly. I mean, I know that's not good news, but it can. But he doesn't change. His word doesn't change. We don't have to change. We don't have to experience all of it. But things happen. I think this doom and gloom idea about the end times is the church is going to be strong and bright and thriving in the end times. It's going to be so, there are all kinds of terrible things that will be going on. But the church, us, we're going to stand out because of the light that's on the inside of us in the midst of a lot of darkness. So we don't have to pick up that defeatist attitude about it. Where was I? They betray one another, pursue one another with hatred. Many false prophets will arise and deceive and lead many into error. So there's going to be a lot of deception. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of multiplied lawlessness. Lawlessness is rejection and rebellion against all authority, God's authority, but also any authority. Any authority. We just want me, my authority for my life. Nobody can tell me anything. Nobody can impose a thought on me. I don't want anybody to tell me I'm going to live the way I want. That's lawlessness. Okay? So multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. That means sin and the tendency toward sin, the approval of sin. We're there. And the result of that is that the great body of people, their love's going to grow cold. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. But, he who endures to the end will be saved. So that just means the one who sticks with Jesus, the one who keeps their relationship with God, the one who avoids offense and deception and lawlessness and these things through relationship with Jesus. You don't have to do that all on your own. He didn't leave us here to do it on our own. But if we endure, we persevere, we stick with the truth, then we'll be saved. Okay? Meaning, we'll come out of that time. We'll be with him at the end of that time. We won't fall away. Make sense? Okay. So, he starts it out. Very first line, many will be offended. Okay, we've already talked through that a lot. That means it's people that are offended. Yeah, they're perpetually angry, right? They're perpetually hurt and wounded. All of us get hurt, people. All of us get hurt. We are wronged at times. We get hurt. Things in life, loss, betrayal. There are all kinds of things that happen that hurt us, wound us. But we don't want to become identified by our hurts and our wounds. We don't want to build our friends that they just know us by our hurts, right? They just know what we went through, and that's it. We've seen small groups that were like that. It was all about how hurt we all are, how wounded we all are. If you want to talk about that for a while in a small group, that's great. Bring it out. Be transparent. But then put the word of God on it. Put the freedom on it. Put the life on it. Put the deliverance on it. Get people up out of that. Doesn't mean you're less than. We've all been hurt. People, you know, leave jobs all the time because, oh, they got hurt. Well, welcome to life, you know. They leave churches because as soon as they get offended with somebody, they go to a different church. And then they get offended there, and they go to a different church. And then they get offended there, and they go to a different church. And pretty soon they're out there by themselves, and the church sucks, right? All churches. It's just, you know. And people that, you know, this just gets me. I mean, they say, well, I got hurt at church. So where haven't you gotten hurt? You know, you never got hurt at work. You never got hurt with your family. You never got hurt. No, just at church. Yeah. You're not telling the truth. See how I caught that? That was good. I'm growing up. Anyway, why did I get off on all that? So perpetually angry, wounded, outraged, resentful, carrying a sense of constantly being offended, afflicted, oppressed. We hear it all the time now. We have people standing up and talking about how oppressed they are that are millionaires living in four mansions and flying around the house. I mean, a lot of these celebrities and stuff, it's just like, whatever, you know. But I also look at that and I say, that's a person who just needs to know Jesus. They need to have a real relationship with Jesus, because if they feel that way, that's sad. That's terrible to go through life and not be able, because then you have other people who've been through worse stuff that are rising up and saying, no, I'm not oppressed. I'm going forward. Okay. I want to be that person. I don't, you know. So he says, many are going to fall into this category. Lots of people. Again, this is an increasing number of people in the world that are going to be in this. All right? It's not supposed to be who we are in the church. So they're going to be offended, and then it says they'll be repelled. Because of the offense, they'll be repelled. And certainly that means, you know, they let that offense push them away from God. But that's not all of it. Most people, when we get offended, we start closing doors of communication. Not just with our offender. I mean, sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you can work toward reconciliation. Jesus tells us how to do that, and that's great if you can do it. But we start closing the door of communication with people and ultimately with God because we're hurt, we're offended. We get distrustful. We'll talk about that in a minute. And so we're having a real hard time trusting, and he goes into that in just a minute. And so we start putting up walls, and we start cutting off communication. And what's really amazing is that people will cut off communication with good friends that are trying to help them. And they'll cut off communication with the people that God sends to help. And that's not good. That is not a good place to be in this whole thing. They'll actually end up, if they continue in this, I'm kind of mixing all these things together, but I've told you before, there's a ton of deception that goes along with offense. And so we'll begin to just see everybody as part of the offense. And we'll actually blame the people that are there to help us get out of the offense for the offense. It's just part of the deception. And so, but they get repelled, okay? So, and the thing is, so maybe you're the person that recognizes in a friend that, you know what, you're getting into offense, and I really want to help you get out of this. This isn't what God has for you. And you get the door closed in your face. What the devil wants to do right there is get you offended with that person that you were sent to help because they didn't treat you the way they should have treated you. He loves that stuff. He gets so much mileage out of one sin. It's amazing. And so we want to be really careful about that. Okay. They close the door. I wish they hadn't. I wish I could help. But God, if I can't, then I pray you would send other laborers, or just send them in, because I want to see them back in the place that they used to be with you and with the body of Christ and with people around them. I want the best for them. You turn that thing around. Don't let that offense get on the inside of you. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Proverbs 18:19. Says, it's easier to conquer a strong city than to win back a friend whom you've offended. Their walls go up, making it nearly impossible to win them back. Walls go up. And that's, you know, we want to isolate because we're hurt. We want to go into our den, okay, because we're hurt. But isolation, we'll think that makes us safe. We're safer in isolation. We're safer not dealing with people. We're safer, in that place. But all isolation does is increase your vulnerability to deception. Because now you're not getting any truth and feedback from other people around you that love you. That may not feel good at the time, but it's there to help you out of that offense. You're not getting that anymore because you've been repelled and you've gone into isolation. And so this is where you are. We need to, and at the same time, this is just terrible. I hate seeing this. I've seen a lot of it, and I hate seeing it because it just ruins people's lives. But at the same time, they're pushing all the people away that would help them. They'll start listening to people who just want to affirm their offense, who just want to say, yeah, you have every right to be offended. I'd be offended too. In fact, I'm going to tell all my friends what terrible thing happened to you. Those are not your friends. People that do that are not your friends. They are not telling you the truth. They're not. Truth is the only thing that will set you free, okay? And so when you have people doing that, I mean, I know some of them are well-meaning, and some of them are just needy for your approval, and so they do this. There's all kinds of things going on in all of this, okay? But the bottom line is we have to resist some of these things. That I think we all feel that. We get hurt, man, I just want to isolate. It's okay to isolate for a little while and seek God. Don't cut God off. Don't get repelled from God. He didn't do it. But it's okay maybe for a little while, but then, no, I can't. And when I start hearing, oh, you poor little dear, we just all feel so bad for you. It's like, I'm not going there, okay? I need to get out of this thing, and I need people to help me get out of this. So don't open your heart at the same time to people who want to feed that offense, tell you how terrible that person was. They shouldn't have done that to you. And so we just need to pray for people who are stuck in offense, because people do get stuck. You know, we do get stuck. We go into that isolation mode. That's when I talked to you about last week. We start running those videos of what happened through our head and what they said and what we said and, oh, what I should have said. And in those videos, they get meaner and meaner and worse, and we just get more justified and more righteous. It's the same old movie. It's the same old movie, okay? Are you having fun? Are you glad you came to church today? I don't want you to have any of this. That's why we're taking this time to do this. So he goes on, he says, they begin to distrust the one you should trust, the one that you should trust. And so faith toward God is always a victim of offense if we let it go. It's really impossible for us to stay angry with one another and especially angry with God and yet have a good relationship with it. It's just the two don't live long together. Faith and offense, they can't coexist in the same heart for very long. So we ultimately, my offended heart doesn't want to hear what God has to say, because a lot of times he starts out by dealing with our heart. Most of the time, maybe all the time, before he deals with their heart. Okay? And so if I'm offended and I'm hanging on to that offense, I don't want to hear it. Okay? Well, if I'm not hearing it, I'm not going to be able to trust God, because faith comes by hearing what God is saying to you. Is that right? Yep. Okay. So then it says they betray one another. They turn friends into enemies. They start to betray one another. Okay. People just start betraying each other. Hurt people hurt people. Okay. And offense colors your view of everyone and everything. Pretty soon, everything is falling into that category in your life, and you are seeing more offense everywhere. And then he goes on and he says, offense, he says, many in this cultural deal, many false prophets are going to arise in this environment of offense, right? Many false prophets are going to arise and deceive many. All right. So that's a big overview. There's going to be more and more deception in the earth. Okay, we've got to be discerning by the Spirit of God. But in our personal life, offense will lead into deception. I know I've said this to you a bunch of times, but I just can't overemphasize how much when we get offended and we let it stay, we start to hear somebody's saying something and we hear them putting us down, putting us under, coming against us. And that's not what they're saying at all. We begin to see actions that people take and we interpret them. We aren't even talking to them. We just interpret that. Oh, that's just more. They're just being against me. They're just doing what those other people did. And that whole thing just increases and increases and increases if we don't break the cycle. And the problem with deception is when you're in deception, you are deceived. I mean, it's an old saying, but it's absolutely true. And so when you're deceived, you can't see clearly. And you need a friend to come in and say, you know what? I don't think they meant that at all. I don't think those people did that toward you. I don't think they were even thinking about you at the time, but you took it personally. You need somebody who can come in and lovingly tell you the truth about what's going on in your heart. So that means you're going to have to be open. You're going to have a few good friends who walk with God and know the Word of God and are willing to talk to you appropriately and in a personal way and in a not, you know, out in public blowing you up on the street, but we've got to have those people because you'll be absolutely positive that people are saying one thing when that thing has never entered their mind. You'll be absolutely positive. You'll be so sure. Why? Because you're deceived. Because you're deceived. And it just goes along with offense. Big picture, small picture. And I can tell you, if you're harboring a grudge today, and I'm not talking about you're trying to work through a hurt, I'm saying, if you've closed up, I'm not forgiving these people. If you're in that place today, you are falling into deception. I can tell you that based on the Word of God and a lot of experience with people, but mainly on the Word of God. If you're in that place, you are getting deceived. Period. It's the way it is. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to hear it or not, my job isn't to scratch you behind the ears. It's to tell you the truth and get you free. Okay? Okay? Yes. Bless the Lord. I should be more pastoral at times. I think this is being pastoral, so this is what you get, okay? Okay, so then he goes on, and he says, hey, we're not going to get to fear today, are we? I'm afraid we're not going to get to fear. Then he says, love grows cold as lawlessness increases. So right now we're seeing that. We're living in this culture that says objective truth, right? A moral standard and truth that exists outside of me, and it applies to everybody. It was designed by God. It was spoken by God. It's God's truth. It applies to everyone, everywhere, in every generation. The truth is the truth, okay? Our culture is saying if you reject all of that, then you can really love people, right? Oh, you can really love people, but you got to get rid of all this truth stuff, okay? You got to get rid of all that morality stuff. Then you can love people. Jesus says rejecting truth, objective truth that exists outside of us, rejecting that, it leads to an inability to love, what God calls love people, okay? Because you can't love people apart from God's design and God's truth. So he says this is going to spread the great body of people. Their love's going to grow cold. They're going to have an inability to love people, which means you're going to have an inability to make relationships last long time. You're going to have an inability to stay married. You're going to have an inability to stay in a job. You're going to have an inability to stay in a church. You're going to have an inability to have long-term friendships because you have an inability to love people when they're not acting lovable. All of us don't act lovable sometimes. And one of the great measures of spiritual growth is that we're able to go through a tough time with a person and love them through it and forgive them through it. Not saying everything they did was okay, maybe it was terrible, but that doesn't change the fact that even if I don't have a relationship with this person anymore, I love them, I care about them, I want the best for them, I want God's best for their life. That's loving people. And Jesus says that this lawlessness and this tendency towards sin, iniquity, is going to produce an inability to love. And we're going to see it just, and we're going to see a real perverted idea, we already do, of what love is. Okay? I mean, there's all kinds of people out there saying, if you just got to reject all this, you got to forget your, leave your religion. If you want to have your religion at home, in your bedroom, in your closet, a small closet, that's okay. But don't bring it out. Don't let it influence how you vote. Don't bring it to work. Don't take it anywhere. Well, then that's not a relationship with God. That's just not a relationship with God. Okay? You know, we can't live that way. Now, I can't love people without having a deep relationship with God and knowing his love for me. So when that ability to trust is lost, then the ability to love goes right with it. Okay? So he says this offense through this whole thing leads to lawlessness, rejection of God's authority, rejection of any authority, isolation, independent spirit, and I can't genuinely love anybody, but you know who, when people are in that place, you know who they do love? Me, not me, me, them. We love ourselves. And that's exactly what we're talking about. I mean, this is just, man, talk about laying out our society. It's all right here. But again, I want us to pull it on the inside. Look at our lives. Look at this pattern. All right, we've got a few minutes left. You still with me? Okay, now I gave you these last week, but I really just had to run through them. So what do we do? Again, how do we close the door? Okay, I'm just going to give you a few things. The first one is pray. I mean, you know, it sounds pretty obvious, but you got to go straight to God, right? And first of all, give up your right to hold unforgiveness. I don't have the right to do it because I've been forgiven by God of so much. I don't have the right to do it now, Lord. I give up that right. I tell you right now, in Jesus' name, I give up the right to hold unforgiveness or to hold offense in this situation. Now, I need your grace to be able to walk this out. I need your grace. And you're probably going to have to pray that a lot for a long time over that situation. And you'll think you've got it. Oh, yeah, I don't have it. It just has no attachment to me anymore. And something will happen. It'll trigger it back up. And you'll say, oh, go back in. Talk to God. Give up your right to hold that. I always go, I want to pray examine me prayers in this place. I want to say, Lord, examine my heart. Show me where my heart is, okay? Because I know it's never I'm 100% right, they're 100% wrong. It just isn't that way. Show me my heart. What is keeping me from forgiving this person? What is keeping me in this offense? And he'll do it, and he'll do it very lovingly. He's not there to condemn you or criticize you or make you feel bad. He'll show you something that needs to change, and when he does, he'll also give you his word and his grace, and he'll, look, this is how we grow. We get changed. We accept what he says. So I need to see my heart. Examine me, Lord, and I need to see their heart, because a lot of times, I mean, there are some people that are just evil, but for the most part, most of the stuff we get offended about, it's something much smaller than that. They were having a bad day. They said the wrong thing. I don't agree with them. Whatever it might be. But you know what? On the inside of that, God sees a person that needs to be saved. God sees a person that needs to grow up in a certain area. God sees a person, all different kinds of things. And when he shows you that, then compassion arises in you toward them, and it's his compassion. And you can pray completely differently. Okay, sometimes I ask God, Lord, why did that bother me so much? It wasn't that big a deal, and yet, boy, it brought back some feelings, and I need to get this healed up. Sometimes I have to pray those prayers. Okay, what's your desire? Where do you want my heart to be in this? We've got to go to God and pray these things if we want to get free from this kind of stuff. And then we've got to start on purpose blessing our enemies. Jesus said, God sends rain on the just and the unjust. We're supposed to be like him. I've got to just start speaking blessing over them, wanting the best for them. And you may not feel it when you first pray it, but just keep praying it and keep praying it. And eventually you will. We've got to spend extra time with him. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Time with him, not just about the offense, not just about what they did. Just time with him. Just worship time. I want to see you more clearly. I need to know you better. Just time with him. Okay? And I said this to you last week. We've got to choose every single morning. God, today I will not be offended. Help me to not be offended. I am an unoffendable person. I have your love deposited in my heart. Say it out loud, okay? Say it out loud. Remind yourself every day. Remember every day, I live in a forgiveness I don't deserve. So I will give forgiveness that maybe somebody else doesn't deserve, okay? Because I have it. I live in it. I can give it away. Does that make sense? Okay? Remember that you have given your own share of offense. No, not me. Yeah, you. Especially you, probably. We've all offended others, okay? So give people, sometimes, I mean, I've said this to people in counseling before, give people a break. I mean, you're holding an awfully high standard for people. Give them a break. Doesn't mean you're saying what they did was okay. Just give them a break. Give them some room to breathe and some room to grow, okay? Again, sometimes people are just, I don't have time to talk about this today, they're just more direct communicators than you are. There are people who just say what's true. We'll say what's true. I mean, it might not be true, but they say, and I don't just mean those who every thought comes out their mouth. I'm just saying they don't kind of beat around the bush and expect you to figure out what they're really talking about. If that's you, I'm sorry, but I never know what you're talking about. I just am not good at deciphering all the little ear positions and, you know, nuances, you know, of that. I'm not good at that. My family just said what they wanted to say to each other. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm just saying, you know, there are direct communicators. There are very indirect communicators. And a lot of times the indirect communicators will get really offended by direct communicators. Okay, so think about where you are on whichever side of that, okay? Again, refuse to use your words to spread offense. We talked a lot about that last week. And then learn how to control your anger, your offense, your resentment. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, okay? We're responsible for our own hearts in any dispute. So this is something we can learn, we can grow in. And how to do this. Okay, does that make sense to you? Okay, I'm just going to tell you one quick story and then we're done, I promise. That I could give you a dozen of these, but there was a time many years ago, we had some very good friends during the time we lived in Durango, and we used to worship together, we went to the same church together, we used to get just in their living room or on their porch, we all learned some incredible things about worship, just small group people getting together. And then we went back to Albuquerque to go back to Believer Center and all that. And when we were visiting one time, they had been at another church and they had had some things go on with another pastor. And anyway, I won't go into all that. But the wife especially, I think probably what happened wasn't the best that could have happened to him. But the wife got very offended and very bitter about it. And we came up to visit one time and she just blew up with all this stuff. And so, you know, we listened, we felt for them, probably wasn't the right thing, but we started to say, her name was Kathy. We said, Kathy, you gotta let this go. You know, it's not like we expected that to be an instantaneous thing. We want to help you. We want to pray with you. You've got to get past this, you know? And she blew up. And maybe we were pretty young, maybe we didn't do it as well as we could have, I don't know. But she blew up and broke that relationship. We'd had this tremendous relationship in God. And she broke that relationship and it never got healed. We were able to talk to her husband a little bit and stuff, but I mean, it's been, 40 years or something. No, close the door. It's done. And we, so sometimes when you're trying to help somebody, something like that might happen. Just got to keep praying for them. But we sure don't want to be those people. If somebody's reaching in to help you, we don't want to give up. We would have had years and years and years and years of fellowship. They probably would have been here, not living here, but they would have visited this church, might have ministered at this church. I don't know. I think God had a whole lot more. None of it happened because of that offense. You got to get rid of it. Let's stand up and pray. I know I kept you a long time again today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we know according to your word that we're all susceptible to offense and unforgiveness. And Father, there are deep hurts in people. I know it. I know it. Some of them are being, there are people right now, and I just feel like this is coming from the Holy Spirit right now. There's people here that, and or I think online too, that are that hurt is being dug up again and again, not by them, but they're still in the relationship that's hurting them. And Father, I just ask special grace for them. I ask special grace for all of us today, Lord, to be able to rise up above every past hurt, every past wound, every offense, anything that would stop us and hold us in place and not let us go forward. Any open door to that demonic activity that comes along with this. I pray that deception would be broken over people's hearts and minds today that came from offense. I pray, Father, that people have separated, those that have separated themselves and gone into isolation, Lord, that they would find the courage to come out and that you would surround them with really good friends who can handle them tenderly and lovingly, but bring them forward and back into the fullness of what you have for them in their life, the fullness of their calling, the fullness of who they're supposed to be as mothers and as fathers and as co-workers and employers and employees and ministers, Lord, to the world. Father, I pray that you would bring them out. I pray that no ministry would stay hindered, Lord, because of offense. And only you can work that kind of healing, but you can work that kind of healing. And so I pray it, I release it over anyone today who is receptive to that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Did you have a pretty good time? All right. I appreciate you guys. You let me tell you the truth. Not everybody does that. All right. Let's not stand up. We're already doing that. Let's say this on the count of three. Jesus is Lord. Yeah, it's written right there. Or the Gunnison Basin of the world. Thank you. That's why we keep that sign up for all these years. I've only been doing this for 40 years or so. All right. Ready to say it? One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. If you need prayer, people will be up here to pray for you today.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.